this is Susie Larson. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of Live the Promise. You know, shows like this are made possible because of your continued support of Faith Radio. To learn more, please check out our website at myfaithradio.com. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. In fact, it's hour two of Live the Promise. So if you just tuned in, oh my goodness, you missed a powerful first hour. Talk to author and pastor John Ferguson about finding our way back to God. And you might be saying, I've not wandered from God, but we all have our wandering ways. Some wander farther than others. We can even wander in our hearts for a moment, but the Father draws us to Him. And I'm telling you what, you'll be so inspired and blessed if you go back and catch the podcast. If you miss the live hour, you can do that. That podcast will be up in just a little bit on our website, myfaithradio.com. Well, now we're going to talk about being the hands and feet of Christ. And I'm excited to welcome Jeff Nini to the show. And he works with Convoy of Hope. Before we get him on, I want you to listen to this audio clip from Convoy of Hope.
What if you truly believed that you could change your city? Not the structures, the roads, or the traffic, but the people. What would you do? When you'd look around you, would you begin to see potential instead of poverty? Would your eyes be opened to the value of your neighbors? Would you start to realize that sometimes the simplest things make the biggest difference? That even something as basic as a haircut can inspire confidence? Or that a new pair of shoes can not only change the way people walk, but the way they carry themselves? And would you begin to believe that providing health exams does more than just bring peace of mind, but has the ability to change hearts as well? Or that giving a child reason to smile can brighten their entire existence? And what if you believed that offering someone something as simple as a bag of groceries could be the one thing that brings hope to everything?
I came to the Convoy of Hope outreach today for the services offered because they are needed and helpful at the moment, very helpful.
Everybody's constantly making sure that we have what we need and if we need help finding anything, and there's just lots of people to help you.
It's given us hope today. That's the hope we needed.
By giving back to your community, you'll play a part in changing the lives of families and giving them the hope they need. By coming together as friends and neighbors to pray, to give, and to volunteer, we'll transform lives. Hope starts here.
You know, so often when we think about poverty, we think of third world countries. But, you know, so many of us have neighbors in adjoining neighborhoods that are living in abject poverty. And it's possible to wipe out poverty in our lifetime if everybody did a little bit and some did a lot. It's possible. Let me tell you about today's guest, and we'll get him on the show. Jeff Nini has been involved in ministry for over 30 years and currently serves as national spokesperson for Convoy of Hope, as well as special assistant to the president. Prior to coming to Convoy of Hope, Jeff served in various positions of television and radio, including the director of TV ministries for Willie George Ministries. Jeff lives in Springfield, Missouri with his wife, Lisa. They have four children and five grandchildren. Jeff, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you so much, Susie, for having me today.
Good to have you. And I know you're battling a cough, so you feel free to cough whenever you need to. Because the worst thing is when you're trying not to, you're going to just going to do it. So if you know that you can, you probably
will.
That is
true, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. So we love to start out our conversations talking scripture, Jeff. And I'm wondering if you either have a life verse or just a verse that's been popping off the page at you these days.
You know, it's interesting you ask that. I do, and it's a scripture that I've taken to heart personally, but it's also a scripture that you hear a lot around Convoy of Hope, and it's from the book of Isaiah, chapter 58, verse 10, and I'll just kind of paraphrase it, but it says, "If you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday." And I think the thing that really grips me about that verse is the way it's worded. That's from the ESV. but it says if you spend yourself, and so often we think about, you know, well, I'm going to do something for the poor. I'll toss a little coin in the plate, or I'll do this or that sort of thing. But really what Scripture's talking about there, it's talking about spending yourself or giving of yourself. I know I played sports in high school, and like at the end of a practice, when you had really given it all, you were spent.
Yeah.
You were exhausted. And that's the word that's used there. If we spend ourselves, really giving of ourselves, and it's not just talking about money, but really giving of what's inside of us. And that's really what God's looking for. He's looking for people that will really give of themselves, not just a little token gift here and there, but will really give something of themselves, not just money, although money's important, but really give from their heart and from their time.
And what's so powerful about that, Jeff, is for one, it shows you God's heart for the poor, for the oppressed, for those in need. I mean, this God who put the stars in place, there's
yes.
no power that opposes him. I mean, he's the one who's near to the vulnerable, to the brokenhearted, and the destitute. So that, for one thing, just shows his heart, which I absolutely love about him. But also, I think it's so interesting about that passage is that something gets healed in us. When we tend to the work of his heart and hands, something gets healed in us. I want you to just explain how that's been true in your own case. As you've spent yourself for the needs of others, what's changed in you?
I think the biggest thing that's changed in me is my awareness of other people in need. You know, in as we go about everything that we do, that journey we call life, it's so easy to focus on ourselves. I need to do this. I need to do that. I need a new suit, or I need a car, or I need a new apartment, or I need a new house. And we get wrapped up in all the different things we're doing for ourselves. And so many times, I've found it, you know, personally, where there have been things and people in need right around me, and I've kind of looked over the top of them because I'm looking for what's next for me. And I think God's saying, hey, let's shift our focus a little bit. You know, when he sent Christ down, you know, we just celebrated Easter, and when he sent Christ to save us from our sin, Christ wasn't sitting looking around saying, I need this, I need that. He was saying, man, you know, here are my Father's children, and they are in need, and I'm going to do something, in his case, something major to take care of that need. But I think that's what God's asking us to do. Look around us and see that person next door. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's a cousin or a relative or just somebody walking down the street. But quit focusing so much on ourselves. There's nothing wrong with buying things and that sort of thing. But quit focusing on that and focus on people around us that are in need.
Good word. Jeff, before we get into the work of Convoy of Hope, would you mind giving us a little backstory on your faith journey?
Yeah, sure. I'd be glad to. It's interesting. When you're in high school, it all revolves around a girl, right?
And, don't underestimate the power of a girl, all right?
That's right. Missionary dating.
Yes.
I had a girl that I knew in high school that we had dated, and you know, it's kind of off again, on again. And somewhere during that time span, she came to Christ. And that started me on my own personal journey. And it was one of those things where I had grown up in church. I had the string of attendance pins. You know, back then you got mm-hmm. attendance pins for every year that you had great attendance. And I had a string of them. But through that whole journey, I never really knew or I never really understood that Christ wanted a personal relationship with me. I knew all about him. I knew all the Bible stories, and I was a decent kid. I, you know, get in trouble a little bit, but nothing great and that sort of thing. But I didn't have a personal relationship. And when I was, would have been 19 years old, and all of a sudden, I became aware of that, and I wrestled with that for a few weeks. Went to a concert, I remember, and it was a group called the Jesus People, and they put on this concert. And at the end, this minister got up and talked about the personal relationship that each one of them had. And I'm sitting there going, you know what? That's what's missing in my life. I know about God. I know who Jesus is, but I don't have a personal relationship. I can't say, you know, we're tight or I know him or anything like that. And I wrestled with that for several days. And then one day, just sitting in my bedroom at night, I said, okay, God, I'm done with the wrestling. I'm done fighting. I want you in my life. I want to have that personal relationship with you. And that was a transformation moment in my life.
Mm, great story. I always love hearing these stories because people come to Christ in such different ways, which just proves to you people come to Christ
so
in such different ways. So how did you come to Convoy of Hope?
Well, that was a long journey. I spent most of my backgrounds in Christian broadcasting. I worked in Christian television for years. But prior to that, I had been a youth minister. I'd gone to Bible college, got ordained, worked in youth ministry for a while, and then just really felt God leading me into Christian television. And through, you know, several years in that journey, I met a pastor who ended up moving to Springfield, Missouri, and to work for a national denomination and work in their broadcasting area. And he oversaw it. And when he moved there, he called me one day. And it was the strangest experience I think I've ever had in my life, because I had kept in touch with him over the years, but I hadn't talked to him in probably 6 months. But I answered the phone one day, and all he said was, hello. And I knew who was on the phone. I knew why he was calling, I knew I was going to do it.
Wow.
Before he ever said another word. And that was kind of spooky.
Yes.
I got a little freaked out on that one. And yet, you know, we sat and we talked for probably an hour on the phone. And he said, I want you to come to Springfield and work with me in this broadcasting endeavor. And I said, I'll do it. And, 6 months later, I was there. Well, one of the first people I met when I moved to Springfield was Hal Donaldson. And he told me about this ministry that he had just started called Convoy of Hope. And I said, well, look, you know, I'd love to help. And at that point in time, I helped with video production and web and different things like that. That was about 18 years ago.
Wow.
And then I worked with Convoy as a volunteer and a vendor for several years. And then a little over 13 years ago, probably, I left the ministry that I was working for to devote full time to my production company. And Convoy of Hope was going to be one of those production clients. And that lasted about 3 months. And Hal came and he said, Jeff, one of the board members really feels like we need to just really jump on this media wagon and hit it full steam. He said, and he's willing to pay your salary for the first year if you'll come and do it and devote full time to it. So I just really felt God was in that. And my wife and I prayed about it and decided, okay, let's do it. So we did it. And he paid our salary that first year. And then from then on, God's been gracious enough to keep us there. And keep us employed. Now, my wife's worked there for the last 5 or 6 years, and I've had two of my sons have worked there at different times, and my other two kids have been involved either in trips or volunteering at outreaches or things like that.
Wow.
So it's been an amazing journey.
Wow, that's absolutely amazing. When we come back, Jeff, I want you to tell the story of how Convoy of Hope was founded based on a family tragedy. And then from there, we'll talk about the work of Convoy. And there's even an opportunity for you. If you're looking to roll up your sleeves and get involved, we're going to offer that to you as well. If you've got questions, here's the number, 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH, or email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Or with Jeff Nini of Convoy of Hope in a minute.
Speed.
for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to Jeff Nene today of Convoy of Hope. And Jeff, I know there's quite a story about how and why the Donaldson family began this ministry. Would you mind telling us that story?
Be glad to. There are four Donaldson children, Hal, Dave, Steve, and Susan. And Hal's the oldest. He's the president of Convoy. And he and his three brothers started the organization about 20 years ago, a little over 20 years ago now. But really the beginning of Convoy was years before that, when Hal was 12 years old. He's the oldest of the four. And their father pastored a small church in a community in Northern California. Well, they had a church business meeting one night, and the Donaldsons, the children, stayed home with the babysitter, and mom and dad left to go to the business meeting, and didn't get very far down the road at all. Were suddenly hit by a drunk driver. Hal's father was killed instantly. His mother was severely injured, would spend months in the hospital recuperating. And that night, family and friends, neighbors all gathered at the Donaldson home. And they tell the story of remembering when a police officer stood up on the front step and said, "Is there anybody here that will take these children in?" And Hal said, for the longest moment, there was just silence. And then a family stepped up, and a man and his wife stepped up, a young couple, and they said, "We'll take them in." And the Davises took all four of these Donaldson kids in. They had a single wide home, and with the four children, the Davidsons had six in their family.
Oh,
so
my.
10 people living in a single wide home for nearly a year. And they had to eat in shifts. They had to take turns sleeping in beds and sleeping on the floor, different things like that. But they just felt that God had, you know, reached out to them and said, "You need to take care of these kids." And for that next year, while their mother was recuperating, they really lived on a combination of welfare and handouts from friends and neighbors and people that cared about them. And it just made such an impact on the kids that as they got older, the three boys said, "You know what? We want to be our dad's second wind. We want to do this as a tribute to him and a tribute to the people that helped us."
Wow.
And they started Convoy of Hope. It was an amazing story. They had a little ministry going called Church Care America, and was basically designed to help small churches with a need. So if you had a piano player that couldn't make it, they were sick, you would call them and they'd provide a piano player. Or if you needed to put a new roof on the parsonage, you would call them and they'd put a work team together and come out and help. Well, one day a church called them and said, "Hey, we've got people that live in our neighborhood right around the church that don't know Christ, don't come to church, and are really in need. They're having trouble, you know, putting food on the table, and we want to do something special to help them. Can you help us?" So they borrowed a pickup truck, went to the grocery store, bought as many groceries as they could fit in the truck, talked the grocer into selling them to them wholesale, went to the neighborhood and passed them out to all the families in the neighborhood and said, "Hey, this is from the folks at this church up the street. They want you to know that they love you and that Jesus loves you." And that was kind of the birth of Convoy of Hope.
Wow. That is amazing. What a story.
It really is.
Wow.
And you think then that pickup truck now has turned into a small fleet of tractor trailers and shipping containers that make their way literally around the world. We've been in 114 different countries now, 48 of the 50 states. And God just keeps on blessing and blessing and blessing. And it really goes back to that Isaiah 58:10.
Yeah.
You know, when you spend yourself on behalf of the poor, behalf of the poor, now our day is like the noonday sun.
Wow. I knew that story as I read it, but I'm just so stunned to hear you say it. And you think about these sons saying, "We want to be our father's second wind." And You know, Jeff, anytime you do something that's in the heart of God, you've got this big capital yes on it. Not to say you don't face opposition, but you have the momentum of heaven behind you because this is what God cares about. And so to see how far and wide, I mean, how many estimated people have you helped? Do you have that number?
We do. It's amazing. We have a formula that we use. It's almost impossible to count everyone, but we have a formula based on how many pounds of food and that sort of thing. And our best estimation right now is we've been able to help over 70 million people through these last 20 years.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, we in about 2 minutes, we have to take a break, but just giving you a rundown of some of the initiatives of Convoy of Hope: community events, children's feeding, disaster services, agriculture, women's empowerment, rural compassion, partner resourcing. Did these evolve, you know, one phase at a time, or how did you come up with this list?
They really did, and one has grown into others, that type of thing. The community events are what, the way we started, you know, with that pickup truck and groceries, passing it out into a community. That initiative has now blossomed into these huge community events that attract thousands. When we started our children's feeding program, it was basically to feed hungry children internationally. Well, that now has grown into the agriculture program because we want to be sustaining. We want to not just keep feeding people, but to teach them how to feed themselves. Women's empowerment grew out of that because what better way to feed children than equip their mothers to be able to feed them themselves? What mom doesn't want to be able to take care of her own kids?
Oh, and this,
so it's like one has bred another.
And that's such a beautiful thing. Isn't that how it goes? And this is from your website, from Kara Edson. She's a director of women's empowerment for Convoy of Hope. She writes, of an estimated 1.3 billion people living in abject poverty, 70% of those are women. That's unacceptable. We're helping women to break the cycle of poverty. I mean, just to identify that and then move on that need is just amazing. Wow.
It's one of the most exciting ministries that we have going right now because you can see what it's going to become years down the road as these women learn job skills. And really, the first thing we teach them when we bring them into this program, the first thing we teach them is self-worth. God values you because most of them have been trampled and put down. But you teach them that God loves them and he cares about them and he wants them to amount to something. And all of a sudden, their whole countenance changes.
Well, you know what? We are living and breathing for such a time as this. And God invites you to be part of the bigger kingdom story. And it's amazing how the little in your hand will go such a long way when they're put into the right hands. And so I dare you to say, Lord, bid me come, use me to feed the poor, to change the world. And we're going to talk about how Convoy of Hope is doing just that. And who knows, maybe you're called to be part of this particular ministry. If you've got questions, now's the time to ask them. 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH, or email Suzy@myfaithradio.com. Back in a moment. Is on our side. So glad you tuned in. I'm Suzy Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to Jeff Nimi of Convoy of Hope. He's a national spokesperson of Convoy of Hope. And I'm telling you, if you just tuned in, wow, the backstory of how this ministry got started is absolutely phenomenal. And now you've branched into all these initiatives to community events, children's feeding, disaster services, agriculture, women's empowerment, rural compassion, partner resourcing. There's so much to talk about and not enough time even to talk about it. But I want you to talk about this community event piece because because this is a way that we can get involved. And sometimes you hear people saying, well, I want to give helpful help. I don't want to help people who keep making poor choices. And I loved what Michael Redmond said, your vice president of community events. He said, we may not be able to change the choices people make, but we can definitely increase the choices that they have. Love that. So talk just not only about your vision, but the actual initiative of these community events.
Community events were really, I mean, that's the foundation of Convoy. Like we talked about, starting with that pickup truck and groceries, it's branched into these big, huge events that attract thousands. I mean, we've had a few events, over 10,000 guests that come, and we really operate on a principle where people that come, people that are in need, are not pitied. They're not looked down upon, but we have what we call the honored guest principle. And that's we treat folks that come to these outreach events like they're a guest, an honored guest in our home. And that it's all about, you know, giving them that self-worth, helping them to feel better about themselves, number one. Yeah, some of them have made bad choices. Some of them have had just hard things dealt to them that weren't their issues, weren't their fault. But that doesn't really matter. What matters is God cares about them. He cares where they are right now, and he wants to see them in a better place in life.
And hasn't Jesus done the same for us while we were yet sinners? He died for
exactly,
us?
Yeah. Exactly. It's a matter of coming alongside these folks and not giving them a hand out, but giving them a hand up saying, hey, let us help you.
What does a community event actually look like then?
If you drove past one and looked at it, it would look like a carnival. It's usually in a big park setting or on a big parking lot, and there'll be all sorts of tents. And one tent will be a shoe tent, maybe. We have great partnerships with a couple shoe companies, and we've been able to give out shoes to children that maybe never had a new pair of shoes before. Another tent is going to have family portraits where photographers, professional photographers from that community, volunteer their time and take photos of these families and give them either a CD or a print of that photo to take home with them that day. There's another tent that's full of medical services. People can come in and get medical screenings. There's all sorts of different things. There's always free lunch, free entertainment. There's music playing. It's just a real carnival atmosphere. Sometimes they have cotton candy, hot dogs, drinks, chips, you know, you name it. And we have a great partnership with the National Breast Cancer Foundation. So in select cities around the country, they're coming along and setting up their area where they train women how to screen themselves for breast cancer. And then they also have a program that if they find a lady through that process, that they will then guide her and help her the entire way through that process from discovery to healing.
That's amazing. And while we're on that topic, I want you to talk about your commitment to partnering with volunteers, other nonprofits, businesses, and even government officials to get the job done. Talk just about your vision behind that and how that's actually worked for you.
Well, you know what? Well, I think what it boils down to is at the end of an outreach, if you have one of these big community events, at the end of that day, Convoy of Hope is going to close the doors on the truck, and we're going to drive home. But that can't be the end of it for the community. That's got to be the beginning. So what we really strive to do is bring together the best that a community has to offer. And that may be city government, it may be law enforcement, it's the medical community, it's businesses in that area, it's the local church and the volunteers that come from those local churches. Bringing all that together, and the initial focus is to spend one day spending themselves on behalf of the poor. But it goes beyond that. Now all these people that have come together have developed relationships with each other. And so now the second question is, okay, now what can we do next? What can we do here ourselves without Convoy of Hope being here as the instigator that day? What can we do as a community to help these same people in need? And that's really the secret, I think. If there's a secret sauce, it's getting the people from that community to work together continually to help people in need.
You know, our pastor said that even in some of the surrounding communities of our church, that there's something like a 70% poverty rate in communities that look like your everyday neighbors. But you're seeing that, aren't you, from community to community, that poverty is more prevalent than we even know?
Oh, it's amazing to me. I mean, we were in a community several years ago. We went, actually went a couple of years in a row to a suburb of Atlanta, Georgia, that's one of the richest suburbs in that area. And Atlanta is a pretty well-off community. They have several rich suburbs, and this was one of the richest. And people were saying, well, what in the world are you going there for? And it was amazing to us, the people that came out of the woodwork that were in need, that were living in poverty.
You know, my friend Sarah Grove, she's a singer-songwriter, and when she heard about Hurricane Katrina, she and her husband and I think a few of the band members got their tour bus together, filled it with diapers and different kinds of things, and went down and just decided to help. And just in a few minutes, we're going to bring on a friend to talk about an event that's coming to the Twin Cities August 1st. And I'm giving you the heads up on this because maybe you are listening from Sioux Falls or Des Moines or from Florida even, and you want a mission trip, there's going to be a Convoy of Hope event on August 1st that you can make the trek for. If you plan for now, we're going to post the information on our website. You can make a mission trip to the Twin Cities to minister to people, an organized mission trip where you can minister to the poor, to the hurting, and be a part of what God is doing. So in just a moment, we'll revisit that. But I want you to talk about your Rural Compassion Initiative, because here is Steve Donaldson. He also is one of your staff people. He says, I'm consistently awestruck by the depth of poverty we see in rural American towns. I'm equally inspired by the determination and grassroots solutions in those same towns. So say more about that.
I love Steve Donaldson. He's the youngest of the three brothers, and he just has such a heart for rural communities. And to see what he has done with the Rural Compassion Initiative is amazing. They focus on going into rural communities and finding rural churches that a lot of times are really the cast-offs. You know, everybody pays attention to the big mega church and the super church. And these small, you know, 50 people, 60 people, 40 people, these small rural churches are sometimes overlooked. And what Steve has done is he's put this whole initiative and a whole team together where they go into these rural communities and teach pastors and teach lay people how to make a difference, how to have an impact in their community. And they give them tools, they give them resources, they give them backpacks full of items that kids would need for school supplies, things like that. And they say, you know, go out and make an impact now in your churches. And it is so amazing to see the feedback from these rural pastors and these lay people. You know, a lot of these pastors are bivocational. They're pastoring a church, but they're also working a day job to make ends meet. But yet they get these resources and they get this training, and then they go out and have an impact in their community, and they are psyched. I mean, they are super stoked to be able to go out and make a difference, and all of a sudden people are looking to them as the leaders in their community.
Wow. And these are the unsung heroes, aren't they? I mean, they feel like they're
really
probably are so isolated, and I think the need in rural America is so significant, so they probably feel so in over their heads. So how do you identify which rural churches to help? Do they call you, or how do you do that?
It's kind of a combination. A lot of times they will call us just looking for help, but then what we'll do, say, for example, if a church from rural Mountain, Georgia calls and says, hey, you know, we want to do something, we want to learn, we want to have an impact, we'll say, okay, give us some names of other churches in your area that you think, you know, maybe within a 50-mile or 100-mile radius that you think would be interested in learning the same things. And you pull together, that's how you can make it work financially, because it would be so expensive to go in and help one church of 40 or 50 people. But what we do is pull 30 or 40 churches together at once and make an entire weekend of it so that they come in and they have training and they get encouraged and they hear good, solid Bible teaching. But even more importantly than that, good training on application of what they just learned. Here's how you take, you know, we all know the scriptures, but here's how you take those scriptures and make them come to life in your community.
You know what I love that I'm so impressed by is you joining forces and joining hands with other people for the sake of getting people fed and cared for. my boss always says, you can get a lot done if you don't care who gets the credit. And I think,
yes.
Jeff, in this day of territorialism, when it starts to become about our kingdom and not his, we need this where we say, you know, think what you want, but we're going to get these people fed and cared for. I mean, I love that.
Yep. Amen.
So good. Say a word about your agricultural initiative.
We have a guy that we hired. It's been a few years now that we started it, and we affectionately call him Dr. Dirt. He has a PhD in soil science.
Wow.
I didn't even
His
know
His parents
that was
must be so proud. Just kidding.
Yeah. And he is great. He was actually a pastor at one point in his career. Had his college degree, went on and continued and got his doctorate, his PhD. And he just has this burning desire to teach people how to grow their own food.
That's awesome.
And he's done things like in Haiti, our children's feeding program, we feed about 147,000 children regularly,
wow.
Most of those on a daily basis. In Haiti, that number is close to 60,000 alone. And so here's a country that's just, you know, dying on the vine. And Jason has gone into Haiti and put together this conglomerate that was once dead, this conglomerate of rice farmers, and said, look, I will come in here. If you will go back to farming, they had quit farming.
Wow.
If you will go back to farming, I will teach you how to improve what you're doing, and I will guarantee that I'll buy X amount of rice from you every year. And then we teach some principles like tithing. So when we started out with, I think, 30 farmers, and now we have somewhere over 1,000. But we start out saying, okay, now you're going to tithe. When you get your crop this year, when you harvest your crop, 10% of that crop is going to come to Convoy of Hope, but we're going to use that crop to feed your children in your schools, in
wow.
your communities.
Wow, brilliant.
And it works. I mean, and we also teach them to set back. You set back 10% of your seed. You don't just go and unload all your seed and then your crop fails and you're out of business again. But you save 10% of that. You set it back. And teach them, and then you teach them agricultural principles on top of that. And their yields just keep going up.
That's
and
amazing.
Up and up. And now we're to the point where we're feeding so many of these children in Haiti with rice that comes from Haiti. It's grown right there.
My goodness.
So to us, that's the real success of it, is you're seeing these farmers now being able to take care of their families, but they're also being able to sell their rice, make a profit, and that some of that rice, you know, 10% is coming back to feed the children in their communities. And it's a wonderful, wonderful situation. Mm.
Thank the Lord for Dr. Dirt. I am telling you what. I mean, truly, that plan is absolutely brilliant. Well, when we come back, we're going to have Kelly Black join us. She's the local contact for this Convoy of Hope event coming up on August 1st. I'm telling you, no matter where you're listening from, pray about it. Maybe you bring your youth group in. I don't even know if that's possible. You have to ask Kelly. But wouldn't it be neat to make a mission trip to the Twin Cities to help feed the poor in a location here? Boy, I'm excited about the potential. When we come back, we'll talk with Kelly Black, more with Jeff Nene of Convoy of Hope as well. Don't go away. We're coming right back.
Your kingdom's coming, salvation day. A time of breakthrough is on its way. Only our God is strong to save. Only our God is strong to save.
Wow, what a great couple hours we've had on Live the Promise. So glad you tuned in. I'm Susie Larson. The second hour, I'm talking to Jeff Nene. He's national spokesperson for Convoy of Hope, an absolutely amazing ministry. Oh, my goodness, to hear how the ministry started, to hear the reach of this ministry and the hands and feet of Christ that's happening all over the world. Absolutely amazing. Well, now we're going to make this kind of local. So even if you're listening outside the Twin Cities area, here's an opportunity, and you got some time to plan it. It's just a one-day event, August 1st. I'd like to welcome on the show Kelly Black, and she's with the Emmanuel Christian Center. She's going to be the local contact for Convoy of Hope. Kelly, welcome to the program.
Hi, Susie. Thanks for having me on today.
Absolutely. And so I'm going to introduce you to Jeff Nene. Jeff, welcome, and meet
Kelly. Hey, Kelly, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
Great. I'm doing well, and I'm super excited for the event that you guys have coming up.
Yeah, I'm excited too, because Emmanuel does things big and they do things right, I just got to say. So I'm super excited about August 1st. But Kelly, tell us of what we can expect and who can be involved before I promise away and invite everybody in the whole world to join us.
Absolutely. You know, Susie, Jeff did mention quite a few of the things that are going to be involved in that day. Everything from medical services to haircuts. We'll be able to give away free shoes, and we'll have 19 different tents there, so many opportunities for people. But really, anyone's welcome to come and serve on that day. We're expecting 10,000 guests, and so we'll need at least 1,500 volunteers that day, all hands on deck. And we've already had some great organizations and businesses jump on board, and local churches as well, to say, hey, we're bringing a crew. So everyone's welcome.
So I'm sort of kind of envisioning this, Kelly, but different people listening from outside the Twin Cities area thinking, this is going to be, you know, the end of summer mission trip. If they basically got their own housing and they raised their funds, that they just, their church sent them, would they contact you ahead of time so you know they're coming? How does that work?
Yeah, that would be great. We've tried to keep it as simple as possible. If you visit the Convoy of Hope Minneapolis web page event, they'll see a box at the bottom where they can just submit their information. I'll get it directly, can get in touch with them to get an idea of how many people they're bringing. And then we'll have a volunteer rally the night before on Friday, July 31st. And they'll be able to get all their things they need there, their T-shirts, equipped for the next day, and then ready to go. On-site training on Saturday morning.
Indeed. Okay, so Kelly, we're going to have that Minneapolis event, Convoy of Hope, on the show page from today so people can click on it. And I just pray you get a flood of emails. And I really pray people are being stirred up to join us. And I mean, so you come in on a Friday, so you go to the rally, get your information. Did you say they get a T-shirt or something as well so we can be identified?
Absolutely.
Okay, very good. Well, Kelly, thanks for all you're doing behind the scenes. And if you have any questions as people start to email you, you know where to find me. I'm just a text away.
Yep,
so God bless you, hon. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Susie.
Yep, God bless you.
Thank you.
Wow, I'm so excited about that. And I'm just thinking there might be some people who just had the light bulb moment and are going to join us on August 1st. I'm excited about that. We just have probably about 5-6 minutes left, and I want to cover a couple of these other initiatives. Talk about disaster services and what that looks like through Convoy of Hope.
That's a whole different animal, and it's so needed out there. One of the things that we found, and we started, I think we had our first response to a disaster back in about 1999. One of the first full-scale large responses we did was Southeast Asia tsunami in 2004 and 5, and then later in 2005, Hurricane Katrina. And then it's exploded since then. But we have a full-scale disaster services team that are trained up. They're in very close communication and work in cooperation with FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Association, and then with a lot of the state and local emergency management organizations as well. And what we do is everything we do is food-based. One of our sayings is we have a driving passion to feed the world. So we do children's feeding. We, teach mothers how to feed their children. Everything that we do has a food component to it, and disaster services is no different. When a tornado has come in, give you an example, the Joplin tornado from just a few years ago, devastated an entire community. And we brought in truckload after truckload after truckload of food and water and emergency supplies and meals, and just distributed that through neighborhoods to people that were just in desperate situations, food, water, anything that they need. And then the interesting thing about disaster response is it ends up taking a turn at some point. At some point, the community starts to be able to take care of itself from a food standpoint. But people are trying to clean up their homes. They're trying to get things put back together. So we send in volunteer teams to help them clean up. We give away shovels and rakes and small tools and things like that. Anything we can do to help that community get itself back together. And again, the whole idea is making the local church the hero. in talking about the outreaches, we talked about your church being involved. And that's by design, because we know we're going to be gone at some point. We close the doors and drive the trucks home. But that local church remains in that community. And our real goal is to equip them to be the hands and feet of Christ, to continue to reach out and touch people in need.
That is just so powerful, so ingenious. And Jeff, I'm thinking, so you're based in Springfield, but you're all over the world. So if the everyday person is listening going, well, I want to get involved in my community, but I want to be part of what Convoy of Hope is doing, do they go on your website and, I mean, and offer to volunteer and you plug them in a place that's local for them? Or how do you do that?
Yes, we have that availability, and so often the outreaches are scheduled. So they can go to our website and they can look around and they can find where the different outreaches are and see if there's one in their local area, like the one coming up in the Twin Cities. But they can also look on there and just say, hey, I want to be a part, I want to volunteer, and they can submit their names. People that are local in our area, we have an ongoing every Tuesday volunteer event that they can get involved in. But we also, during times of disasters, we really try hard to use local residents first. So say, for example, when the tornado hit Joplin, we really tried to use volunteers from local churches in that Southwest Missouri area, because the local infrastructure is already overtaxed with all these people coming in, you know, the Red Cross and FEMA and SEMA and all these organizations coming in, sucking up all the hotel rooms, things like that. So it becomes a chore just to feed and house the volunteers. So we try to use locals as much as we can, but then in an ongoing operation, we'll use teams from churches. We take teams from churches to different places like Haiti and El Salvador, the Philippines. Many of our areas where we have regular ongoing operations, we use volunteer teams in those settings as well.
And so do you wait to be invited, or do you make a contact when you see a need, or is it kind of both and?
It's kind of both and. A lot of times we have relationships with churches. We've had churches that have been big supporters of Convoy of Hope that all of a sudden, because of a local disaster, are, you know, just totally devastated, and they need help now. Mm. So I think, to me, that's one of the exciting things, or rewarding is probably a better word, rewarding things about what we do, is there are often times where people that have helped us, now all of a sudden we get to turn it around and help them.
And isn't that the family of God, you know?
It really is.
Yeah.
It really is.
Well, you know, I'm going to have you pray in just a moment, but Jeff, as I've been praying for our nation, praying for persecuted brothers and sisters around the world, I have this very sobering sense that stuff is coming to our country. I mean, we've pushed God out of every public square, every nook and cranny, and he's with us, and there's a remnant of us, of course, in the nation praying, have mercy. But I still just sense, just in the days that we're in, that we're going to need more organized programs like this. And you guys are already like a fast-moving train. You're a fine-tuned machine. But we as people need to be ready to join forces with what's already working, because I think the need's going to be there in the days to come. So I just can't thank you enough, wow, for what you're all doing. And wondering if you would just pray that we would live ready to meet needs all around us. If you just pray that we'd be awakened and mobilized.
I'd be glad to. Thank you. Father, we just thank you for who you are.
Yes.
God, what you mean in our lives and the way you direct us. And Father, there are so many parts to the body, and that's physically true, but it's so true in the body of Christ. There are people that do what we do. There are people that do what Susie does. There are people that are mechanics and doctors and nurses and all sorts of different things in life, God, and you have them exactly where you want them. And God, I just pray that you would now just put a fire inside their belly, Lord, to draw even closer to you, to take the talents and the skills and the training that you've given them, and God, to apply it to their lives and to make them willing vessels, that they will just keep their eye on what's going on, Father. And one of the most exciting things, God, is not trying to find something that we can do and ask you to bless it, but find something you're doing, and ask how we can be a part, how we can bless that effort. And God, I just pray that the folks who are listening today would develop that in their heart, God, that they would want to find out what you're doing in these areas.
Thank you, Lord, and thank you for tuning in today. What an awesome time. Have a blessed weekend, and we'll meet you back here next time.